Acts chapter 1 tells us that Jesus will return in exactly the same manner that he left. He will descend from the clouds in his physical body and reign on the earth. And he will. And he is coming. And I think he's coming soon, because our wickedness on the earth, I believe, has exceeded the wickedness that was on the earth before the flood. And so I believe that the Lord is coming soon. And no matter what you think, you know, we've all read and seen all the movies about the end times and the mark of the beast, and we've read all the Left Behind series and all these things. And so there's almost nobody who thinks that they're going to be caught off guard by Jesus' coming. Like, we all think that we're going to see it, we're going to spot it, we're going to recognize it, and we're going to get ready just in time. And all non-Christians think the same, because they've heard enough that everybody thinks they're going to see it coming. But Jesus says only one thing regarding his own second coming, and that is, it will come when you do not expect it. The only thing he says is, be prepared, be on the alert, be on guard, don't be asleep. Be ready. Be ready. That's what the Lord says about his coming. And you know, if the Lord said it, I bet it's real serious. Now, the problem with Jesus' words about being prepared is this, that almost no one is ready to meet the Lord. Like, say you were going to meet him this afternoon. Would you feel like you were ready to meet him? Well, almost nobody is ready. And those who aren't prepared to meet the Lord fall into two categories. Non-Christians and Christians. Everybody is not prepared to meet the Lord. And nobody is ready. Now, those who are non-Christians, they're not ready because they haven't even made the first step toward reconciliation with the Lord. And for those, and there's probably some here today who are really kind of borderline and still really not having stepped over the line into the camp of Jesus. And for you, I want to urge you to do what I did, which was just as simple as could be when I was just a little bit older than you. And I would play lead guitar in the clubs for our favorite motorcycle gangs down in Southern Connecticut. For some reason, my life was not satisfying. I don't know why. I was doing everything I wanted to do. But my life was still empty. And then one day, the most amazing thing happened to me. I walked into the men's room of the university I was attending. And laying there in the men's room was this strange-looking little yellow pamphlet. Now picture this, right? My hair's down here. I see this thing laying in the men's room, and I picked it up. And I took it home. And I started to read it. And it talked about how to have peace with God, how to experience the love of God, how to have the big, huge, gaping hole in the center of your heart filled up. Man, that's just what I wanted. So I got my best friend, who was a biker, and we both read through this booklet together. We got down on our knees. We confessed our sins, and we said, Jesus, if you are real, please come into our lives and make us new creatures. And when we rose up, we were new creatures. We were born again. The old things had passed away and all things became new. We were totally changed by the power of God. And what could possibly turn a burnt out hippie that I was into an evangelist and someone who can't stop talking about Jesus? What could possibly transform someone like that so radically? That is, we experience the love of Jesus. We experience His love. Something that we all need, something we all want, something we all crave is in Jesus. And all these years later, I can truthfully and honestly say, the Lord has never let me down. And He's always there when I run to Him. The only time I'm upset or discouraged or depressed is when I forget to run to Him. He's never left. So the Lord is good. So for those who have not actually stepped over the line, this is your weekend. This is the weekend that's been set aside. Chris and the other leaders have set this weekend aside for you to make that move, to go over into the Lord's camp, to experience the grace of God, to experience His love, to be filled with His power and His Spirit. And this is your morning. And this morning, we'll pray together and we'll just receive Christ, those who have not done that yet. So for those who aren't believers yet, it's real simple. Just receive Christ. Like Joel said, I'm sorry. Two words is the difference between heaven and hell. Now, for the rest of us who are believers, we are also completely, totally, woefully unprepared to meet Jesus. What? What do you mean? I'm born again, I received Christ, I'm ready. No. No, you're not ready. Why? How come? What do you mean I'm not ready? Because of these two awful scriptures. You're probably thinking, I didn't know there was any awful scriptures. Yes, there is. There's two terrible ones back in the Old Testament. Back in Exodus. I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. And further on, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. These two scriptures expose the condition of our heart and expose how unprepared we are to meet the Lord. And you say, how is that? Because except for the very, very rare few exceptions, we have nothing except false gods before Him. And we love everything more than Him. We have all kinds of false gods before Him, and we love all kinds of things more than Him. That's not saying that we don't love God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't love God. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't love God. The problem is, especially as young people, that there's so many other things in this world that we love more than Jesus. So that the love of God, which we experience times like this and in church on Sunday, maybe at youth group occasionally, that love for the Lord gets crowded out into one little tiny corner of our heart, and then everything else runs us all the time, from morning till night. What are the things that you do? What are the things you seek after? What are you craving in your heart? What are your pastimes? What is your greatest desires? These are the things that have taken precedence over Jesus in your life. The job of every Christian, the work of the Holy Spirit in every one of our lives, is to make Jesus to be preeminent in our lives. That is, that Jesus is more important to us than every single thing in this world. The Lord right now is doing a work. He's doing an amazing work. And He's calling forth the bride of Christ. The Father has promised Jesus a bride without spot or wrinkle. And right now, God the Father is fulfilling His promise to His Son, and He's calling forth a group of people out of this world who have learned to love Jesus more than this world. Learn to love Jesus more than the world. And if we just take the example of a young woman who is about to get married, and she's all dressed and she's waiting, where's Heidi? How long ago did you get married?
Last July.
Last July. Okay, now just picture Heidi, all dressed, veil on, she's all perked and ready to go. And suddenly, it's an hour just before the ceremony, and suddenly she's gripped with a desire to see the latest video which just came out. So she runs to the store, she just gotta see it, because it just came out, she's got a favorite actor in it. And while she's absorbed in this movie, the wedding comes and goes and she forgets about it. Now, that could never happen, right? Why? Because she's not thinking about the latest movie release in that moment. She's not. She doesn't care about it. She's not thinking about it. Doesn't make any difference to her. She's only thinking about, I gotta get this guy out of control. Okay? So the defining characteristic of a bride is that they're not thinking about anything except that guy. Now, we have so many other loves. We can be in a situation where we are so distracted by the things of this world that the Lord could come and leave and us not be ready. You see, God is doing this work to call us out of the world to where we get to the point where we don't care what's going on in the world. We don't care what the latest release is. We don't care what the latest video game is. Wow, ouch, that kills, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but if we're distracted by these things, we are not prepared to meet the Lord. We're not prepared. If we can relate to all the people of the world exactly the same, we talk about the same things, we do the same things, we talk like the world, we act like the world, we smell like the world, we are of the world. But make no mistake about it, that we're of the world and we're still spotty and stained and we're still wrinkled. God wants to take those that have that little nucleus of love for Him, and He wants to transform them into the bride of Christ that has learned to love the Lord more than the things of this world, that they don't care about them anymore. And I can testify that it can be done. I watched my own sons take all their video games and their TV and throw them in the dumpster. And I watched their lives go from being wretched and normal and just like the world, to becoming full of the fragrance of God, because they started to feed on the Lord. They started to make Jesus more important to them than all the things of this world. And God began to pour blessing into them because they had decided and determined to make Christ preeminent in their lives. And that's what you are being called to do today, is to make the Lord preeminent in your life. And to surrender to the Lord all the other false loves, all the other distractions and the loves and the passions of this world, and all the false idols. You're being called on by God to surrender those things. Now, how do you do that? That's a tall order. That's a hard thing to do. Well, this is the way you do it. This is how you get victory in your life. This is how you become of the bride of Christ and overcomers in this world. You confess the things that are of the world before God openly. That's all. That's all you have to do to start the process. You see, as long as we gloss over the sins in our lives, as long as we gloss over the idols, as long as we don't say anything about them, they just sit there. And that's where the church at large is today, because nobody has the guts to address it, because all of the leaders are involved the same as all of the congregation. And so we have, no one has the guts to say, hey, we're not living like Christ would have us to live. And so as long as we don't address it, we are totally unprepared to meet Christ. But if we become honest and transparent before the Lord and we say, Lord, I have this in my life that takes preeminence over you. I have this in my life that I seek more than you. I have this that I love way more than you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. In that moment, when you address all the different loves and the different passions in your life, and you just say, Lord, I have this in my life, I'm sorry. The minute you say that, you are clean before the Lord. Even if you might be stumbling all the time, it doesn't matter. The Lord has made you clean. You have become the righteousness of Christ as soon as you have addressed the issues. Because God, He's mindful of our flesh, that we are, He's mindful of us, that we are but flesh, and so that we're weak. So we can stumble 100 times in a day. And as long as we keep going back to the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, I did it again. You're just clean. You are totally clean. But the minute you do something that's against the Lord and you let it go, now you become spotted and wrinkled and you're not prepared to meet the Lord, and you've got this nagging thing inside of you that you know if you stood before Him, you would feel bad. And so, all of revival is, which is what we pray for all the time, revival is nothing more than people just like those who are here today making their hearts clean before the Lord and addressing the issues and saying, Lord, yes, this guy's nailed me because I have all kinds of things that I seek and pursue and love more than you. Please forgive me. Now, as we say, I'm sorry, revival becomes part of your life. The grace of God begins to pour into you. Rivers of living water begin to pour through you. And not only will you be changed, and not only will you have victory over the world, but others will begin to see the victory of Christ in your life. And your friends at school will start to come to the youth group. Your friends at school will start to get saved because they will see a person who is walking without compromise before the Lord. And the people love that. They love to see someone who is walking without compromise. The world loves it. The Christians love it. The leaders, I won't say anything about the leaders. But the world loves a person who stands strong in their convictions, and they will follow you. The idea is not only for you to be part of this youth group, but the idea is for you to become leaders that others will follow you into the kingdom of God. So it all starts with you becoming transparent before God, addressing the issues that you think you can't touch. Lord, you can have all my life as long as you stay right in the front hall. You can come right into my life, just stay right in the front door. No. Lord, you can come into my house and you can occupy any room you want. And there's areas in your life that you are just scared to death that the Lord will put His finger on. You're just scared to death, like we all are, because we all have these things we want to hold on to. We want to be Christians, but we want to hold on to something in the world. Everybody's like that. It's not odd. But anyone who's going to become a true disciple of the Lord, they have to address those issues, those things they're holding on to in the world. And they have to say, Lord, help me. And as soon as they do, the Holy Spirit begins to do an amazing work. As Brother Chris goes back to his homeland, it is up to you to become the leaders. It's up to you to be steadfast in Christ. It's up to you to be steadfast. By God's grace, I thank God it is not about Chris. It's about the Lord, and the Lord stays. And Chris will hopefully go on to inspire many more. He's an awesome man of God. But the Lord will stay here with you. And it's up to you to hold fast to Him and to grow in Him. And so we're going to do one more song.